Thank you, Britt, Floyd, and Craig for those words and for leading us in those prayers. I encourage you to continue to use that sheet in your bulletin to pray. You've seen the news, you've seen the world, you've seen our country just as much as I have this week, and you know we need to continue to pray. So let's pray now. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, you are our refuge and our strength. Lord, quiet our fears, steady our hearts, and fix our eyes on Jesus. Lord, tell us the truth about the darkness without letting despair disciple us. Flood this room with your light that is never fragile. By your Spirit, give us power, love, and sound judgment. Faith that looks up, truth that speaks in love, and love that refuses to repay evil with evil. Father, search and cleanse us of any bitterness. Set a guard over our lips and a compass in our souls. Father, unite your church. Heal the wounded among us and make us a people who bless when cursed, serve when slandered, and hope when the storm rages. As your word is opened, anchor us in Christ and send us out to overcome evil with good. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us today. Push me out of the way and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, that first part I didn't allot for enough time in the schedule, but I'm not going to breeze through the message. Okay, this is something that, first of all, this is not new to this church. This is something that we talk about a lot, and something that we talk about exclusively today. It's something that we need to do, and it's something that every single Christian church in the United States and around the world needs to do. So that's what we're going to do. I don't know who else is doing it in our community, but we are. We are. So that's just what we're going to do. You know, it's been really noisy. You know, it was kind of, we had a really good study on Wednesday, but there was also a significant amount of heaviness in light of what had happened. So, you know, it was really that evening, Wednesday evening. You probably saw the email that I sent out before I left the church that night. Really, I just felt this overwhelming calling, or whatever you want to call it, nudging from the Holy Spirit that, okay, you need to not talk about whatever spiritual discipline you're going to talk about this morning, and you need to talk about how to combat hate with love. How to not repay evil with evil. So today's message might be somewhat somber, because we have to talk about the truth in the darkness. But we're also going to talk about the hope that we have in Jesus. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a helper who was always found in times of trouble. Remember that. He is always found in times of trouble. And you didn't have to know. I mean, you know, there's been a lot that has happened in this country, and there's a lot that's been happening specifically in our region where we had, and we paused when it happened, when the legislators in Minnesota were murdered. Her and her husband were murdered, and there was another one that was almost murdered, right? So that was just in our own backyard, and then we had, of course, the Ukrainian refugee that was murdered in North Carolina. You had Charlie Kirk, who was assassinated on Wednesday. You have a school shooting in Colorado that happened that same day. There's a lot of chaos, and there's a reason that these slides look chaotic, because I want us to recognize that the world is chaos right now. But then there's one person in this entire universe that can calm the chaos, and that is Jesus Christ. So our anchor verse comes from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. So that sentence names the battlefield, right? It names the battlefield, and it gives us our marching orders. Evil wants to conquer us, wants to conquer our witness, our unity, our tenderness, our patience. But in Christ, we overcome. We overcome not by shouting louder, striking harder, or nursing gritty grudges any longer, but by doing good in the face of evil. Doing good in the face of evil. I'll be honest, when all this stuff happened, I was not thinking about doing good in the face of evil. I was very, very angry. Very angry. And I'm still working on that, you know, because, you know, I have a unique perspective, and I've seen people in war zones die at the hands of an enemy. I've seen all of these things, so I understand. And then you have this kind of pent-up little bit of anger, or a lot of anger. So, you know, we work on that, but we also know where the healing comes from, right? Comes straight from Jesus. So we're going to talk about a few different things. I'm going to start off with the way of faith and how we can see God clearly in the storm. Maybe you'll agree with me or not, I don't know, but I think we're in the midst of a storm. Things are cloudy, things aren't very well in focused, but when chaos swells, a lot of times our first kind of instinct is control. How do I control this? How can I control that? What can I do to kind of make things all better, right? What can I do to make things all better? You know, we will clench our fist, we'll, you know, do a lot of different things, but where can we go to make things all better? Psalmist writes in Psalm 121, starting in verse 1, I lift my eyes towards the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Faith is the steady habit of recentering on God's character. Recentering on God's character, especially when the world is unstable. Focus on Him. Focus on Him. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. So if fear is driving like the soul of our car, then the Holy Spirit doesn't have the keys. Right? If fear has control over everything that we're doing, then the Holy Spirit isn't in the driver's seat. We need to allow Him to get in the driver's seat. And instead, we need to, once He's in the driver's seat, we need to unclench our fists and open it up and say, yeah, Lord, lead me. Lead me how You want me to go or where You want me to go, instead of trying to fix everything our own. I mean, I'm a fixer, right? I like to fix things. I like to do things. But I also have to recognize that I can't do anything on my own. I can't do anything without Jesus. You know, imagine if you were a firefighter. If you were a firefighter and you went to a fire and you had two buckets. One bucket was water. One bucket was gasoline. Whew, that's pretty wild, right? Every post that we share, everything that we say, a little bit of a bucket gets tipped. Now, what is the difference between the water and the gasoline? The water represents Jesus. It represents when we stop and we pause and we look to Jesus. But if we're in such a hurry and we're just, you know, we're frustrated or we're angry or we're whatever it is and we're not focused on Jesus, we might grab the gasoline and throw gasoline on the fire instead of water. So how do we practice this? How do we practice faith in chaos? Lament before you legislate your emotions. The scripture models this in Psalm 13. It's not on the screen, but how long, Lord? How long? It's not faithlessness. It's faith expressed through honest grief. Pray before you post. I don't know if, I mean, I've had to get off of social media because it's just so ridiculous what I'm seeing on there. But pray before you post, if you post on social media or anywhere, really. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Prayer guards hearts and minds before words leave our mouth. They guard hearts and minds before the words will leave our house or our mouths. And worship before you wage war. Worship before you wage war. When we fix our gaze on God, it's in Psalm 27, the fire in our bones become the holy message, right? Instead of hate and vitriol and all these different things that maybe you have seen or you're thinking or whatever, if you just focus on God, if you worship Him, if you pray, if you do all of these things before you even open your mouth, I promise you it will be different. Faith is not passivity, it is spiritual positioning. We stand under God's authority. We stand under God's authority before we stand against the enemy's hostility. We stand under God's authority before we stand against the world's hostility. Second thing is the way of truth. Some people settle for sentimental love that says nothing, where others settle for brutal truth that wounds everyone. Now, Jesus calls us to do something better, right? He calls us to love. He calls us to love. And really, we were talking about this the other day. I think we were even talking about it at work. I can't remember now. When we're talking about loving people, even those who are hard to love, love everybody. I mean, the scripture is very clear. It's just, there's no conditions on who and how we're supposed to love. It says love everybody. We're not just supposed to pick and choose. Oh, well, if it's my immediate family, I'll love them. But if it's, you know, my neighbor next door, I'm not. No, there's no conditions. We are to love everybody. Ephesians chapter 4 says, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. And a few more verses down, and starting in verse 31, it says, let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. So Paul doesn't trade truth for kindness. He commands both. Now, our speech as followers of Christ needs to be truthful and tender, honest and humble, courageous and careful. That's how we need to speak. James writes in James 1, starting in verse 19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. And I have seen this probably at least 1,000-fold on social media and even in the news and all over the place. Nobody is just taking a step back. And instead, people are, you know, mocking an assassination or whatever they're doing. And it's not, and just to be clear, it's not about, you know, an assassination or a murder on a train. It's about really what the first thought when I thought about rewriting today's message was, what is going on with the sanctity of life? Why has humanity come down to, don't really care anymore? Like, you're no longer a human to me. You're just somebody I disagree with, or somebody I don't like, or you know, the color of your skin. Whatever the case is, what is going on with the lack of humanity in the world? And I can tell you, it's because people don't have Jesus. People don't have Jesus. Now, anger may motivate us for a moment, but it can't disciple us into holiness. You know, we have a, might have looked up here like, what do you have a mirror? It's kind of weird. I know Genevieve asked this morning, where's my mirror? And then Amanda asked, where's our scale? They're both here, not because I want to weigh myself, but because one of these represents truth. Whether you like it or not, the scale represents truth. The numbers don't lie. Wish they did, but they don't lie, right? But the mirror, which freaked me out because this is times five and I couldn't even see myself. The mirror symbolizes love, right? The scale symbolizes truth. The mirror symbolizes love. The mirror lets you see yourself. Not to shame you, but to help you grow. The scale, that is the truth. Now, if we bring only a scale to somebody, as we're having a conversation or whatever it is, if we only bring a scale, which is the truth, and we don't have the love, then we're not going to have a very good conversation. As followers of Jesus, we need to bring the truth and love in and through everything that we do. Everything. It doesn't matter how small you think it is. It doesn't matter. We need to bring it. We need to bring both of them in everything that we do. Truth and love means we reflect God's heart as we reveal His standard. We reflect His heart as we reveal His standard. So what does this look like in practice? You need to check the sources, our sources and our soul. Proverbs 15, 1 says, a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. Verify before you ask, before you share. Ask, will this stir wrath or turn it away? Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. So let scripture be the loudest voice. I mean, that's why you have a list of scriptures, because this message is like 90% scripture, not like just all scripture, because that's what's important. Not what I'm saying, but what God is saying through me, through His word. Tell the whole truth. Micah 6:8, this is what the Lord requires of you, to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. Justice without humility becomes self-righteousness. Humility without justice becomes silence. We need both of them. When you have truth kind of intertwined with love, it doesn't soften into compromise, it sharpens into holiness. Into holiness, in the way of love, refusing to repay evil with evil. Right? We've probably all been there, like, oh man, that's just that's a ridiculous thing that happened, whatever. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything that happened this week, but we've all probably been there, like, man, it would make me feel a lot better if I just was able to go and punch that dude in the face. Right, because of what he said to me or what he did to me or whatever the case is, right? No, that's not what we are called to do as followers of Jesus. It might feel good in the moment, but that's not what Jesus tells us to do. Matthew chapter 5, But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Somebody mentioned that during their brief talk this morning. That's not a suggestion for gentle seasons. That's a command for the stormy ones too. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath, because it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, for in doing so, you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Love means we refuse to use the enemy's weapons to fight the enemy's war. Love everyone. And Paul echoes this in 1 Peter, not paying back evil for evil or insult for insult, but on the contrary, giving a blessing, since you were called for this, so that you may inherit a blessing. When we are insulted, we are called to bless. We are called to bless. You know, if you ever wore a white shirt and spilled coffee on it, or tea, or a Coke or whatever, a dark colored soft drink, what do? Right? Maybe not those who know what to do, but if it was me, I would get out and I would, you know, take the shirt off and I'd, you know, dump water all over it, and I would just scrub it and keep scrubbing and keep scrubbing and keep scrubbing. What happens? If I'm just using water, maybe not using any type of solution or whatever, that's just going to dig that stain deeper and deeper into the fabric. It's not going to get it out. But if we use the right approach, if we use gentle water and the right solution and just kind of patiently try to blot out the stain instead of just scrubbing it down, you're picking up what I'm putting down, right? When we're talking to people, if we're just coming at them really aggressively and just scrubbing instead of just patiently blotting, using the right solution, the right words, coming at it with love. Jesus kneels with the basin in John 13, not to excuse the mess, but to cleanse it. We need to be like Jesus, not saying you're not acting that way, but this is just a reminder to us. So what does it look like? Love is sacrificial. Romans 5 says, but God proves his own love for us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. If that is not the picture of sacrificial love, then I am not sure. Love is practical. Colossians 3:14, above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Love shows up with meals, rides, notes, and opens doors. And love is forgiving. Love is forgiving. Luke 23 says, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. Forgiveness does not ignore justice, it just refuses to wield vengeance. Forgiveness, so important. And how does this world recognize Jesus in us? John 13, I give you a new command. Love one another just as I loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Let me tell you, I want everybody to know that I am a disciple of Jesus, that I follow him, that I love him. I want everybody that sees me, they don't even have to hear what I say, they don't have to hear a word that comes out of my mouth. I want to carry myself every second of every day, so if somebody just looks at me, they're like, man, that guy must have Jesus in his life. Yeah. Now, full transparency, I'm a pretty solid failure at doing that every day. But that's something I'm working on, and I hope and pray that's something that you are also working on. So when people just look at you, they're like, that person has something special. And whatever it is, I want that same thing. Hope does not flinch. The somber honesty about evil is not the same as despair. 1 John 4:18, first part. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear. So hope is love at work in the darkness. Right, and I would argue that this past week and really the past several months have been pretty dark. We need to show Jesus' love to everyone. Again, this is nothing new. We've preached about this before. This is absolutely nothing new. But when we think of it in the context of what is going on in our country right now, it is critical that we not ignore the Holy Spirit when He is, you know, nudging us to go and do something or go talk to somebody or go to our neighbor's house or call somebody on the phone or forgive somebody who we haven't been able to forgive for so long. He is calling us and always has been calling us to do just that, to show His love to everybody. You know, a lighthouse exists for storms. Nobody goes out there and admires the work on a cloudless day. And in the same way, the church's hope shines brightest when the waves pound. The lighthouse does not fight the ocean. It stands built on a rock, its lamp unwavering. Our hope does not control the seas. It casts light that keeps ships from breaking. The world does not need us to manage the storm. It needs us to help keep the light on. We need to keep the light on so everybody sees Jesus. So how can we do all this? How can we not repay evil for evil? How can we hold our tongue as we, you know, are, you know, having discussions or somebody says something that really doesn't sit well with us? What do we do? First, we need to slow down our tongue and our thumbs, right? Whether you're, you know, texting somebody or posting something on social media or just physically saying something, we need to slow it down. James 1, my dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Before we reply, before we ask, am I bearing the fruit of the Spirit? In my response, am I bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Are we bearing those things as we're talking with people, as we're responding to people, as we're getting ready to post on, you know, social media or whatever it is, sending an email, calling somebody? Are we going to be showing the fruits of the Spirit? Maybe we need to do a Philippians 4:8 filter. As a reminder, this is what it says. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. So is what I'm about to say honorable? Is it trustworthy? Is it going to, you know, honor God, or is it going to detract somebody, or is it going to, you know, maybe pull somebody off their path with on their relationship with Jesus? What is going to be the impact? And refuse insult for insult. So hard, right? Refuse insult for insult. 1 Peter 3, not paying back evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing. Practice enemy-directed goodness. So choose one person you struggle to love. One person you struggle to love and add them to your prayer list. add them to your prayer list and pray for them every single day. A person that you just, oh man, it's so hard to even talk to you right now. Add them to your prayer list every day. Do one concrete act of kindness for someone across the aisle. Romans 12:20 calls us to feed and refresh the thirsty enemy. Do something nice. Do something kind for somebody else. Seek understanding without surrendering your conviction. Romans 12 says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Live at peace with everyone. That's kind of what Craig was talking about when he was up here. He's not a big fan of controversy. I'm also not a big fan of controversy, which is kind of ironic because I'm probably preaching a relatively controversial, which shouldn't be controversial, topic in the church. That we need to be nice to people even if we disagree with them. We need to not repay evil for evil. We need to do all of these different things, and it has become controversial. Engage in community. Volunteer where there's pain. Galatians 6 says, though so then, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all. Join efforts that heal. Mentorships. Food banks, crisis cares. Be a peacemaker. Open your table. Have somebody over for dinner or coffee or whatever. Have them over. Have a conversation. Be a bridge to conversations. Show what disagreement looks like through the eyes of Jesus. Yeah, we can disagree, but I can also love you so much. Cultivate holy habits that starve hatred. I love this. Find some habits that starve hatred. Confess, name resentment to God before it becomes a root. Right? Search me, O God, right? Search me. And whatever this is in my life, take it from me so it doesn't become rooted in my soul and something that I just have a really difficult time getting rid of. Rest in God so that you don't run on fumes and fiction. Right, take a day of rest. Right? Take a day of rest and read the word. Psalm 119 says, I have treasured your word in my heart so they may not sin against you. Read the word every single day. Seek justice without surrendering to vengeance. Seek justice without surrendering to vengeance. Learn to do what's good. Pursue justice. Right? Be that beacon of light that the world needs. Confront wrongdoing. And some of you might have faces or names attached to the grief that we've kind of witnessed over the past few months in this country. A lot has happened, and some of you might be feeling that very personal. You're not hearing any type of theoretical counsel. You're hearing a hard word in a tender place. Right? It's extraordinarily tough sometimes, but receive this. Jesus is not asking you to feel what you don't feel. He is inviting you to follow him one step at a time. That's really all we can do, is follow him one step at a time. The cross shows us that God understands unjust wounds, and the resurrection shows that God redeems them. 1 Peter 5 says, cast all your cares on him because he cares about you. You're not weak for weeping or being, you know, sad of the things that has happened. Give it all to God. Bring the ache to the light, right? Bring the ache to the light that is Jesus. Now, what can we do as a church? We need to be a public witness, right? We need to be the witness that we've been called to be. We need to share the gospel. We need to help people recognize their need for a Savior. It's so, so critical. 1 Peter 3 says, "But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." It's called apologetics. That's defending our faith to help people recognize and to also defend why we believe what we believe. So what could we do as a people, as a body of Christ? So four things. First, every morning, surrender. Every morning, take 5 minutes and surrender. Lord, today I am yours. I am yours. Do with me what you will. I refuse to be discipled by fear or fury. Give me power, love, and sound judgment. The second thing is a midday check, right? An afternoon, post-lunch check for a couple minutes. James 1:19 asks, "How have my words today been given grace or gasoline?" Talked about that. And if you need to, apologize quickly. In the evening, examine for a few minutes Ephesians 4, Colossians 3. Confess bitterness, celebrate moments of blessing, plan one enemy-directed kindness for tomorrow. And fourth thing is weekly table. Invite one person unlike you to coffee or to dinner. Start bridging the gap so we, and you know, maybe it starts here. I don't know. I mean, I've seen a few churches, nobody local that I'm aware of, publicly talk about this. Maybe it starts here. Maybe it starts in Burlington, North Dakota, where we start being the light that the world needs to see. I'm cool with that, whatever. But we need to do our part as followers of Jesus. You know, there are times when I am somewhere, and you've heard me say this, you know, a bunch of different times, where I feel the Holy Spirit leading me to do something, and I'm too busy. Like, I don't have time to do that right now. Well, that stops today, okay? We need to be the light for the world, because as we've seen for the past several months, the world or our country is in chaos. There's people not respecting life. There's people, you know, just spewing vitriol and hate just because of a disagreement. We need to stop that as Grace Fellowship Church in Burlington, North Dakota. And we need to show the light of Jesus to everybody. You know, we got a couple pictures here, right? This blue one, I don't know how to make black colored water, so we'll just say The blue represents hate, right? It represents the hate in the world, right? And this let's say this represents, I don't know, maybe your community or whatever. This represents a group of people near you. And you know, we get a little bit of hate in there, right? Like, you know, so if we look at it like that, okay, it's starting to get a little dark, right? And, you know, as hate continues to build up, obviously it'll be much darker, right? But then when we come in with love, right? When we come in with love into a world where they're starting to get some hate, what happens? There might still be a little bit of lingering hate, but look how much clearer it is as we infuse love. And as we infuse love, what's going to happen with the people that infused hate? They're going to feel that love. And perhaps they will change instead of, you know, inserting hate into, you know, our sphere of influence or our lives or, you know, our family or whatever. Instead, they're going to start giving love. That's why it's important for us as followers of Jesus Christ to show love. Show love to every single person. Jesus is not only our example, he is our power. He is our power. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. And amen from anybody on that. We can do nothing without him. The fruit of love grows where the root of intimacy goes deep. And we have this intimate, beautiful relationship with Jesus, and we allow him to, you know, prune some of the branches off of us that are not producing fruit. Man, those fruit that we grow will be awesome. So we're not going to answer hate with hate. As followers of Jesus, as a church, we are not going to answer hate with hate. That's a hard, hard no. We are going to answer hate and disagreement and anything with love. With love, the love of Jesus. We're not going to do anything but give a blessing. Just like we've learned today, instead of, you know, hate for hate or evil for evil, instead, we will bless them. We will love them. We will show them the light of Jesus Christ because it is so important and far too important to not share with them. We will carry the cross. We will carry the cross, not a club, not a bat, not a weapon. We will carry the cross of Christ. And as we carry that cross, people will know that there's something different about us. And that how we respond to certain situations will be different, and they will want to know what it is. And hopefully, prayerfully, the Holy Spirit will take hold of their heart, and they too will want the same relationship. We will keep hearing our captain's voice in Romans 12. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. So as we close, when chaos calls this week, because I'm sure it'll call in some form or fashion, when it does, remember whose voice you answer to. Look up to God. Look up to God and recognize that it is from him that we receive our strength and that we will not be shaken because of him. Speak the truth with courage and kindness and overcome hate with love. Those are our marching orders. The world will know that we are his, not because we never face storms, but because we carry his light with us. And they will see his light in and through everything that we do. And that is what we want to do. Let's pray. Gracious God, Lord, teach us the narrow road of faith, truth, and love. Where fear has entered us, Lord, replace it with your power, with your love, and with your sound judgment. Where anger may have gripped our hearts, loosen our hold and fill us with holy courage and gentle speech. Where hatred has poisoned our wells, purify us by your cross. Forgive us as we forgive others. Lord, make us a people who lament honestly and hope stubbornly. Let your word be our lamp. Your spirit, our strength, and your love, our witness. Lord, send us to do good. To do good, to speak truth, and to seek justice with humility, and to love our enemies for your name's sake. Keep our lighthouse burning, God, in this storm and all the storms to come, because your light brings people home. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.